Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jordana and Paul and Governor-elect Tim Walz. I don't think we've had a chance to congratulate you, but congratulations.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks for joining us. Mazel tov on the win.
Hey, we have to get your input. If you care to comment, Governor-elect, on what's happening in Wisconsin right now, what are your thoughts?
Well, and I think we see it a little bit in Michigan, too. I can't imagine that happening in Minnesota because it's just not the way to go about things. Elections happen, and there are consequences from elections. You've been on, I guess, as you'd see it, the winning side at times and the losing side. But the idea of changing the rules now just because you have a new governor-elect certainly doesn't seem to be honoring the wishes of the voters.
Governor-elect, in your final debate with Jeff Johnson, you said quite emphatically that you would not allow gerrymandering of Minnesota's congressional and legislative districts. Have you changed your views on that?
Not one bit. I'm more committed to it now as governor-elect, and that sacred responsibility to make sure the democracy is fair. And I have to tell you, Paul, someone asked me what I learned about being in Congress. I said, well, first of all, don't say it can't get worse. But
right.
But what I've really learned is if you really want to fix that system, there's two fundamental changes you can make, and that is nonpartisan citizen or judicial redistricting and campaign finance reform. And that would make sure that we're not having politicians pick their constituents being the other way around. So I would like to not just make sure it's done right. I'd like to get it in Minnesota where we codify that and make sure that never again do people get to manipulate that. And I certainly hope that Democrats didn't expect me to do anything other than be fair with that.
Certainly. Okay. And we have a census coming up and we might be losing a House seat. So we'll be put to the test when that happens. We look forward to seeing the outcome of that.
No, absolutely.
Governor-elect, you just got done with a listening tour. What did the Minnesotans tell you? Were you shocked by anything?
No, but I was encouraged. The turnout numbers were huge from, Halleck down to La Crescent. Folks want us to figure out compromises to get things done. The issues impacting their families, like health care costs and education and equitable education. And there was a real sense of bipartisanship. And we were very deliberate. I went to places where Jeff Johnson beat me soundly. And I had a gentleman walk up to me in Fergus Falls and say, Tim, I did not vote for you. I don't necessarily agree with many of your principles, but I don't want you to fail.
What
can we do to help? And I think it's, this was before the loss of President Bush, too, I think, as we started reflecting as a nation what's possible. And he said, I don't want to compromise on my core values, but as long as you're listening and seeing me, there's some things we can get done. So I think it came down to those bread and butter issues. It came down to that this shouldn't be too hard. And the one thing they were emphatic about is don't go to the last day of the session bickering and then present a huge bill and then threaten to veto it or veto it. And they were spreading equal blame. And I think what they're just asking for is basic functioning government that's done in an open, honest way and move things that improve their lives.
Governor-elect, Minnesotans pay about 28.5 cents per gallon gas tax, which is right in the middle of the pack. We rank 25th in the nation. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts about a possible gas tax hike? And are we going to have a surplus in Minnesota next year?
Well, I don't think you forecasts, so tomorrow we'll know. We'll know that. I think it's important to understand where we're coming from. The good thing about state government is that we constitutionally are mandated to balance that budget. As far as the gas tax goes, I get asked, and I thought it was responsible of someone running for office that I answered the question that I believe Minnesota's infrastructure can be better. We rank 27th of investment in infrastructure, and we have a C- from the professional and civil engineers. And so I said, I think, especially on roads and bridges in greater Minnesota that are fixed by the dedication of a funding stream that you can count on year to year. and that's the gas tax, with a clear understanding that as fuel efficiency standards increase, as we move to plug-in and hybrid vehicles, that may decrease. But I thought it was irresponsible of me to talk to Minnesotans who tell me, please fix our roads and bridges. Please make sure that we're not stuck on 94 going to Rogers. And so I provided and offered that up. So I would ask the legislature, as I come from the House of Representatives, come up with another solution. But I'm really not interested in taking from education or taking from healthcare to put to transportation when I think there's a capacity there to do more.
But are you willing to bend on the gas tax? Because we've heard from Paul Gazelka that there's no way that that's going to happen for him. And I also just heard from you that Minnesotans want compromise. Are you willing to compromise here?
Sure. And if Paul said, he said no way, if you noticed, I did not say no way. I said, provide me an alternative on this. What I do know is that Minnesotans do support it if you poll it. I would remind Paul that 300,000 more Minnesotans than have ever voted for a governor before voted for me, not because of me personally, but because this was one of the ideas I laid out there that we're going to improve our infrastructure. So certainly I'm open to talking about that. But I think this idea that I will then go to these places if they choose not to do anything and highlight these roads that for years in my congressional district, Highway 14, if there is so much money to be able to do this, how come it was never done? And so, sure, I'm open to hearing it. But also, I think laying down a hard ultimatum before we've even started is not what I heard on my listening tour. And I would make the case it's not what the voters said 4 weeks ago when they voted.
Governor-elect, in light of what you heard on your One Minnesota listening tour, have your views shifted on legalizing marijuana statewide? Where do you stand today on that?
Well, For a long time, I especially have engaged in this because of pain management and my work as the ranking member on Veterans Affairs. I moved the first piece of legislation to ever move in the United States Congress on marijuana reform, dealing with medical or marijuana in the VA. And what I do know also is that prohibition does not work. I think there's a capacity to be able to regulate this substance, to be able to use tax dollars to work toward prevention and education, and then do some of the other priorities we have. And I also trust adults to make decisions about their own life. So I certainly, this came up, and again, I know my Republican colleagues want to make the case that this is apparently the top agenda item. My agenda is about improving lives of Minnesotans through education, through healthcare, and community prosperity. But we can multitask. I support legalization of recreational marijuana. I certainly believe we need to continue to gather data. This will be a process that should happen, as it did on my listening tour. This issue came up, and we had really healthy debates in these rooms, ranging from, you know, as I said, down in La Verne to Grand Portage. So I'm certainly open to it. I, again, believe this is the legislature will be a part of all these things. The governor does not unilaterally do these things. And I just think Minnesota, like many other states, need to take a look at what works, what doesn't work, and maybe pursue this in the near future.
Governor-elect, where's the low-hanging fruit working with the GOP? I mean, what do you think are the easy things to accomplish maybe in the first few months? Where do you see the opportunities to get traction right off the bat?
Yeah, I think in Majority Leader Gazelka made a good point when we sat down, and I do want to highlight to your listeners, he called immediately. We have called on numerous occasions. We have had a chance to sit down, and we are working on doing a dinner together. I very much appreciate that in the spirit of how he's reaching out and approaching this. And he mentioned something that I agree with. In that omnibus bill that ended up getting vetoed, there were a lot of bipartisan pieces of legislation that were in there, that this always happens. And I think I agree with him. And, you know, the House and Speaker designee Hortman will make a decision on this. I think pulling some of those things out, passing them and getting to my desk to sign shows good faith to Minnesotans that this works. It's unique that we are the only state with divided government. Every other 49 state either is all Democrats have the House and Senate or all Republicans. I on this listening tour, and I think the folks who came out agree, this gives us a real opportunity to prove that we can build bipartisan consensus around common values. So I think there's a lot of things inside that bill that we can come back to and then work on those successes. And also at the same time, when we unpack that bill, I think it makes sense to decide early where the red lines are, where the political impossibilities lie, and maybe put those for another day.
All right.
Governor-elect Tim Walz, thank you so much for your time and for chatting with us. We hope to have you back on the show soon.
You certainly want to be back. Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
I'm encouraged. I am encouraged to hear that he said he heard Minnesotans say they want compromise. They want to get stuff done. They want to come together. Healthy, open debate.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could actually set a model for getting stuff done?
We are.
We're
living it.
For constituents, for citizens.
He
not
said,
the political knife fight.
Right.
But actually, hey, what's in the best interest of a majority of Minnesotans? What can we agree on?
Hey, Wisconsin, look at us. We're doing it right. Hey, Washington, Minnesota's got a thing or two going on over here. What did you hear in the governor-elect's remarks that you want to comment on? Good, bad? 651-989-9226 is our number. 81807 is our text line. Be back to take your calls.
There is some skepticism. There's always skepticism, right?
Not much, though.
Not too much. Not as much as I thought. One of our listeners says, Paul and Joe, apparently you two are already using his legalized marijuana. If you think politicians will compromise in today's world, will never happen again. I hope you're proven wrong.
I hope so, too.
But
and
we'll see.
Listening to Tim Walz, you would think it could happen. And the reason that we think it could happen, well, I think, at least my takeaway from his being on our show with us, and we'd like to hear yours. We got open phone lines at 651-989-9226, was that he said he heard on his listening tour that people want compromise. People want progress. They want, you know, bipartisanship. They want people to work together. As a constituent, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the digging the heels in the sand, and I'm going to take my ball and go home like the Republicans in Wisconsin are doing.
Well, does the party come first, or do constituents come first?
Well,
and the needs of people out there, voters, mm-hmm. I don't know. Sometimes they get blurred, right?
Mm-hmm. This texture says, the thing I dislike very, very strongly about any Democratic governor these days is that it's all about funding and growing government unions. Whether needed or not, very wasteful and inefficient in most cases. Other people spending other people's money. Okay, that's fair. You don't like other people spending other people's money. We need money to make everything go round, yet we might have a surplus. And, hey, if he legalizes pot, we're going to have all sorts of other tax money that we can use for other great stuff.
Don't hold your breath. I'm not sure that's imminent. And again, as he pointed out, that can't come from a governor decree.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
The legislature has to enact a bill. But
correct.
At some point, to keep up mm-hmm. with some of these other states like Colorado and mm-hmm. Washington. But again, do we want that as a state? Mm-hmm. And at some point, will there be a special referendum where voters get to choose? Voters mm-hmm. get to vote mm-hmm. on that specific
I like that.
Bit of legislation.
I like that.
Should marijuana be legalized for more than just medicinal? Mm-hmm. You know, I look at the opioid epidemic.
Yeah.
It's not getting any better.
It is not.
China just made some moves recently to label fentanyl as a controlled substance. Mm-hmm. And even the dark web now, people on the dark web are taking it upon themselves not to ship any more fentanyl. But again,
because it kills people.
It kills people. It's not the trends are going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And again, is there a possibility that legalized marijuana could help people who are currently addicted to opioids wean them off opioids? Mm-hmm. So I know people are going to say, well, marijuana has its own issues. But again, pointed out, the way you can tell somebody's high is if they're on 494 and they're driving 25 miles an hour. And they should be stopped and they should be ticketed. And
interesting litmus test.
Laws should be enforced. You should not be able to drive under any substance, whether it's alcohol or
that's
weed.
True. Rick's in St. Paul. Rick, jump on in here. What'd you think about the interview with Governor-elect Tim Walz?
Well, you know, the comment the person that said that they don't like Democratic governors, they like to explode, government deficits and sure. things like that. In the context of what the Republican Party did in the power grab in Wisconsin, Wisconsin just saw the Speaker of the House from Wisconsin oversee the largest deficit expansion in the history of the United States under a Republican watch in Wisconsin. So that comment before is just sure. ridiculous.
Sure. Look, they both raised taxes on both sides. Nobody.
Right.
I mean, they do what they have to do. Rick, do you live in Wisconsin?
No.
You don't? Okay.
Have you been to Wisconsin?
I was just curious to know what you thought about what was going on over there. Yeah. We talked about that a half hour ago.
They don't homestead their taxes over there, so you get less bang for your, you know, I guess as far as homesteading goes, you higher property taxes, and you really don't get much on that western edge of Wisconsin, so they come over to Minnesota and use our resources, but...
Well, thank you for educating us, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
It's true. All politicians tax and spend. I don't think that it is, it's not just one side. They do what they got to do at the time they got to do
it. I'm a markets guy. I think usually businesses can come up with leaner, meaner, more efficient ways to get stuff done. But there is a role for government, and finding that balance, you know, that elusive balance between government and letting the markets go nuts. I mean, that's always the challenge. So we'll see. Our hopes are high collectively that Governor-elect Walz can work with the legislature and actually get stuff done.
And that's all we got right now. We can just find out.
Yeah.
Did you hear that PETA is offering us some new verbiage that is more pro-animal? They don't want you to say things like kill two birds with one stone because it's negative against animals.
Really?
You will hear some other crazy... Well, oh, my gosh. You will hear some other interesting new phrases that PETA wants us to use in Beyond the Headlines after the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jordana, when you shop for stuff, do you check to see if it was actually manufactured in the United States?
No, but I really should. I really should.
I mean, I know we all chase the lowest prices, but if you take that extra few seconds, pick the item up or look online, was it made here? Was it made in China? Was it made in Europe? Was it made somewhere else?
But if it's a really good sale and if I look cute in it.
I know. But I mean,
if the prices are close,
I mean, I like the idea. And President Trump has talked about this a lot. Made in America.
You're right.
Defer to goods and services here in the United States.
So what's the Beyond the Headlines about?
Is that
this?
Populist or is it patriotic?
Patriotic.
15% of the products in the Trump store are made in America.
15? Like 1.5?
15%.
Wait, there's a Trump store?
If you go to TrumpStore.com,
oh.
Tell me you have not gone
there. No, I haven't.
And done some shopping for me.
I'm going right now.
Christmas is coming.
TrumpStore.com.
There are 268 items for sale at TrumpStore.com. Of those, 41 are made in the United States. That means American products make up exactly 15.298507% of the
That's
Trump
bad.
Store's available merchandise. The 41 U.S.-made offerings at the web shop are denoted by a small American flag icon. They include a Trump-branded football for $185, a 21-ounce jar of lavender and sandalwood bath salts for $25, and the Trump Double Trouble Pullover
for
$150, which will
expensive.
Quickly become your go-to item when an extra layer is required.
Not and for $150.
We need extra layers. I would like you to consider that
There's
for Christmas.
Wine glasses. Oh, my goodness.
I just thought that was interesting.
That is exciting. My Secret Santa's getting something from the... Not for $150, though. All right, get this. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wants us to stop using anti-animal language. You're asking yourself, what is anti-animal language, Jordana? Well, for example, kill two birds with one stone. They want us to say, feed two birds with one scone.
Good luck with that.
They don't want you to say, be the guinea pig anymore. They want you to say, be the test tube. They don't want you to say, beat a dead horse. They want you to say, feed a fed horse. Here's a personal favorite. They don't want you to say, bring home the bacon. They want you to say, bring home the bagels. Love bagels, but okay.
I'm writing these down. Can you go slower, please?
And finally, instead of saying, take the bull by the horns, they want you to say, take the flower by the thorns. The flower people are going to come after them, though. That is not the proper way to treat a flower.
I believe in the ethical treatment of animals, but that seems like a bridge too far.
How about the ethical treatment of the English language? So we're done.
Okay. Interesting. A 9-year-old boy in Colorado convinced his town to stop banning snowball fights. Oh, I'm sorry. I took your story.
We both had the same story.
Kudos to Dane Best. That's this 9-year-old's name, Dane Best, who lives in a small northern Colorado town, the snow-swept town of Severance, Colorado. He presented his arguments at a town board meeting Monday night of this week, and members voted unanimously to lift the ban on snowball battles. I think it's an outdated law, Dane said in the lead-up to the meeting. I want to be able to throw a snowball without getting into trouble. Some think that his little brother is the intended target of these future snowballs.
And I wonder if anybody was ever penalized by that law.
Well, this was part of a larger ordinance, Jor, that made it illegal to throw or shoot stones or missiles at people, animals, buildings, trees, or any other public or private property or vehicles.
And that
apparently snowballs fell under the town's definition of missiles.
Oh my gosh. Missiles.
Less regulation, please.
So he's going to be able to throw them, right? He won, right, Paul?
Yeah, he won.
All right, he won. More radio stations are banning Baby It's Cold Outside amid the Me Too controversy. Hey, Dan, have you received the memo yet that we're not allowed to use that as lead-in music?
I have not received any memo to that effect.
Okay.
I would personally decline doing that at this point.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a little sexist, a little
date rapey.
Pro-rapey. Look, I'm sensitive to all of this, so I'm not laughing. But across the country, radio stations and listeners are hoping and debating about what should be done to the 1944 Christmas song, Baby It's Cold Outside. A Cleveland radio station, WDOK, announced it would cease playing the song after some listeners complained the lyrics had not aged well, according to the, well, in connection, really, with the hashtag MeToo movement. You know the lyrics, you know, baby, it's cold outside, then don't go. I'm not quoting exactly. You know, you really shouldn't go. He's kind of hoping that she'll stay because it's so cold outside. And she said, no, I really have to go, but you really should stay. And he sort of kind of makes her want to stay. And it's a little,
creepy.
Yeah. In some polls, respondents voted 95% in favor of keeping the song as part of a station in, I think it was Denver. And the program director said, while we're sensitive to those who may be upset by some of the lyrics, the majority of our listeners have expressed their interpretation of the song to be non-offensive. In Atlanta, they pulled this song 5-plus years ago for the same reason.
All right.
Ow.
So we won't be playing that here on CCO anytime soon.
Right.
Robots are coming to Walmart. A lot of people concerned about automation and robots taking jobs away from people. Uh-huh. History and the experts, and what do the experts know? The experts believe that new jobs will pop up, that robots will replace a lot of jobs, a lot of manual labor, but that will give way to new job opportunities. But Walmart already has robots scrubbing the floors. The world's largest retailer is rolling out 360 autonomous floor-scrubbing robots in its stores in the United States by the end of January. A company called Brain Corp makes the machines. The autonomous janitors can clean floors on their own, even when customers are around. They can dodge customers, according to the San Diego-based startup. They look like a cross, Jor, between a miniature Zamboni and a motorized wheelchair.
Oh, boy.
And they already scrub floors at airports in Seattle, San Diego, and Miami. Oh, boy.
I'm all for progress. I'm okay with it. Humans don't need to scrub floors in 2018. I understand that is a job for some person, and that is a very that's a great job that somebody has. They have to clean. But if we can automate that, then that will eventually free that person up to take a different job.
And again,
or want to do a different job.
I think we had this stat at one point. The average millennial will have 2 to 4 different careers, 1 to 2 dozen mm-hmm. different jobs.
Right.
So this notion of continuous retraining, learning new stuff, and being able to hit a moving target to be prepared with the skills for jobs that don't even exist today, but will in a few years. Mm-hmm. So every threat is an opportunity, right?
I would agree with
that.
It's also 4:46. That means we probably should take a Wixon Jewelers time check. Wixon Jewelers offering an unwavering commitment to the exceptional. The expert team at Wixon will ensure your visit is nothing less than unforgettable. Mike Max, how's your holiday shopping going?
Good.
Are you lying?
Well, I haven't started. That's yeah, really good.
You, go. You haven't started.
why would I? what's the rush? What am I missing out on? You guys have papers that you're looking at, like there might be statistically something to show me.
I was just curious to know how that was going before we got into the sports. Okay. I just thought maybe, you know, I mean,
yeah, and the answer is really good.
Really, really well. Really You've good. Done absolutely yeah. nothing.
I got some stuff for myself. I shouldn't.
Maxie, domestic violence, obviously not a laughing matter. It is right. a societal issue. The NFL maybe has a perception problem. Talking specifically about former Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt. He was released by the team. That video, that ugly video surfaced of an assault. 538 did a study. It showed that NFL players, when compared to men aged 25 to 29 nationwide, are dramatically less likely to commit crimes. In fact, NFL players commit crimes at 13% of the national average. And yet, you know, a lot of my friends are convinced that, you know, that this is a pervasive problem sure. in the NFL.
Sure.
Why do you think we're at this spot where perception becomes reality in the minds of a lot of NFL
time
fans?
You get Kareem Hunt doing this and it shows up on camera, it gets played over and over and over again. When Adrian Peterson had the bout where he took a whip to his child, and those pictures got released, it gets played over and over and over again, so it sticks in people's mind. You don't see many videotapes of a guy that walks into a restaurant, eats dinner, and just goes home like most players do.
That's not news.
Yeah, right. The stakes are high for these guys, so I'm not surprised that they're well below the national average because I wish people could see inside an NFL organization and the great lengths that they go to educate these kids almost coming out of school. Here's where you buy insurance. Be careful if somebody tries to sell you investments and you don't know anything about them. Here's where you should buy your clothes. If you're going to rent, here's what the lease needs to look like. Okay, now let's get into domestic violence. Here's some cases. Here's what happens. It goes on and on. I mean, these guys are well educated on everything. You wish that if you had a son or daughter graduating from college that they would get to go through what the NFL puts their rookies through. They are incredible in how much time they put into these guys in the offseason.
I did not know that.
Let's talk more about that later, because I think that's a great topic. But let's talk a little sports right now while we have you in studio, because we only have you for a few minutes. The Wild won last night.
Wild won. Power play got going just like you said it would once they went on the road again,
that's
Jordana.
What I said.
And I didn't believe
you. Did you predict
that? They lose three straight, and I started to get worried. Jordana says, hey, they're better on the road, I think, than they're at home because that last road trip they had where they did so well. And sure enough, they go out to Vancouver. They fall behind 2-1. I text Jordana. I say, no way, not tonight. She said, hold on. I wake up this morning, they win 3-2. I say, why do I not trust this lady?
Check the text. That's what I said.
Yep.
and the Wolves up next, Charlotte?
Wolves get Charlotte tonight. I was out there yesterday. They've carved out a nice niche here. You win here, they go to the West Coast as well. After this, they go to Portland and beyond next week. So it's getting fun over at Target Center. They seem like they know how they want to play. It seems like they are becoming their own coaches on the floor, which means they're taking leadership, which means the coach doesn't have to coach as much, which is a good thing. And that's what I'm seeing right now.
Mikey Max, as always,
you're the best.
Our thanks.
Thank
we'll
you. Get on that shopping for you. Thanks, Mikey.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.